Let's just say amen.
Amen.
Let's just say amen again.
Amen.
God has been good to you.
Yes,
I know he has. I know he has. That's one of those questions I asked. It's rhetorical, really. I didn't need you to answer that because I'm looking at you sitting here and telling me God has been good to you.
Yes.
Have you seen the miracle lately?
Hallelujah.
Have you looked in the mirror?
Amen.
Then God has been good to you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now let me hear with you one more. Now he said, now are you breathing?
Yes, sir.
Breathing, he said that everything that has breath,
praise
the Lord, to be praised.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Luke the 15th chapter? A very familiar passage, Luke 15. While you're getting it, give it unto God the Father, to Jesus, the Son, to the Holy Spirit, who is present with us, with our pastor, the Reverend Pastor Harold. Dr. Harold's the best singer. That was beautifully done. First lady, only lady, singer.
Amen.
I will find you now. Amen. To my lovely wife of 28 years.
Praise
you know what I'm saying. Amen. To all of you God's children, all the officials here, and my fellow subjects in the gospel, the choir that's done such a marvelous job.
Bless
musicians, amen. And our young folk, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll say a little bit more about them a little bit on Luke, the 15th chapter, if you have it. Amen. If you need a little more time, just say wait. All right. Somebody say wait. I would normally call them out. Luke 15. Amen. And I'm going to begin reading at the 17th verse. You know the story, so I just want to capture a segment of that. The prodigal son, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. And put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring him hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we just want to tell you thank you.
Thank you.
For being God and God all by yourself.
Yes.
Lord, I'm just a messenger standing in of your word. But you said that we send forth your word into the earth, would not return unto you void.
Yes.
Lord, as you give us your word, open by eyes that we can see. Our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Hide and also deep within the crevices of your cross or behind it, and not to be a seen, but only you and you get the glory.
Yes,
this is our prayer today in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And the church said,
Amen.
As you're being seated, Sunday, your name is the neighbor.
Neighbor.
Do you want to change?
Do you want to change?
Sunday, neighbor's a neighbor.
Amen.
Do you want to change?
Do you want to change?
Turn to yourself and grab yourself in this collar and say, self,
I
need to change.
Amen.
Not an individual here can even suggest to me that they don't need to change. No matter how close to heaven you are, no matter how good you are, no matter how often you get Jesus to talk to you about how he's supposed to live, you need change. Everybody here needs change. I found out something to be true, that God does not change because he is ahead of change. Same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's the kind of God that we serve. But everything else changes. The only constant in life is change. Is that right? So what I need to get us to do is to understand, one, that we need to change, but then you say, how do I change? I'm glad you asked. I want to talk today about five steps to change. Five steps to change. Amen?
Amen.
In our text, we know this passage. It's about the prodigal son who had traveled as low as he could go. Let me digress for a moment and talk for a minute about this morning. Y'all feel all right from breakfast this morning?
Yes.
We got some folks that put down some groceries this morning.
Amen.
We had some people put up some groceries. John and company, y'all did a wonderful job. Amen. But y'all make my job a little bit on the hard side. And then we had a program where our young people, Alyssa and Jasmine, brought some advice to our young folk. And I have to tell you, they messed me up because they act like they're grown. it was sagacious. I mean, it was so wise. I'm like, look, what? And then we had a duet.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That you all heard earlier. Amen.
Amen.
And then we had a dance. Y'all not ready for the dance yet, but get ready because the dance is coming.
Amen.
Now, I'm
going
to tell you why. I tell you the dance is coming because the dance needs to come.
Amen.
I had an experience this week, and this is the context from which we're going to base the sermon. And on the radio, a young lady called in, I think Thursday, Steve gives advice on businesses, and she was asking him what could she do? She's been in business now for 10 plus years, and she asked him, what can she do to better her business, increase her clientele? And Steve said, well, I specialize in this. Basically, he said, you need to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
That same day, I had lunch with a gentleman who owns a nice little company. It wasn't really about him, but he was asking me if I would help with a particular activity involving said church. Mm-hmm. Where this church is now, they have property real estate, $2+ million, and they're gifting it to a university.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the church is dying.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain that, see, because everybody in that church of the 18 members, did I mention the property value? That means this is a big facility.
Yes, sir.
Everybody in that church, the 18 members remaining, are about 80 plus years old.
Mm.
And they just want to have somewhere that they can still be buried in. So they want somebody to control it. And you know, church, you can't just give it to anybody. It's got to
it
doesn't belong to anybody. But it can't be. So they gifted it to this religious university. But did I mention that this church was dying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this church, I don't know it, but I'm inclined to believe that they refuse.
Ah. Come on, preacher. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. To change.
My Lord.
How do we get to a point where we don't accept change?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When did I get so right?
Yes.
That I have all the answers.
Come on.
And it had to be done my way,
yes, sir,
or the highway.
Yes, sir. Tell.
Who made me so wise, right, that I could see into the future and know how things are going to be on tomorrow? Yes. That I can anticipate how it's supposed to be done today for tomorrow? Yes. Everything changes.
Yeah.
And they're gifting it. Property, but no people.
Mm-hmm.
The place is not the church. The people are the church.
Amen.
And church, we need to change. So the son found himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now with all of his money that he did not deserve because he was not the oldest son. And so, really, he didn't deserve anything, but the father, being a kind father, decided, since you have the audacity to ask me your inheritance, to ask me to give you what is to come to you after I die, to be so concerned about me that you want your stuff before I die for yourself, here you go. And he received his goods and went into a far country.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was there, you know how it is when people are not used to having.
Yeah.
He bought him a Bugatti.
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying. Had a little extra money, so he wasted on some nice clothes, perhaps some name brand stuff, and some nice shoes, because you got to have that. And no good to have a nice place to live, no doubt. Again, this is Ricky talking. I'm making this up so we can have some relevance. And then, you know, it's no good in having all that stuff if you don't spend some money on some friends.
You gotta
have some nice friends, right?
Yeah.
So you gotta spend some money and buy some friends. I mean, get some, you know. But if you're not putting some in the bank,
come on,
and you're always taking out of the bank, then what's going to happen, what's in the bank is going to become depleted. So he ran out of money.
Yeah.
Ran out of friends.
Oh, yeah.
Ran out of real estate.
Yeah.
Ran out of clothes. And now he finds himself now needing what he should have had all along, a job.
Yes, sir.
In the lowest of state, as a Jew feeding swine,
mm-hmm,
he is now desiring to eat the husk that the swine ate. This boy is about as low as you can go. Let me ask you a question. Anybody been on P.S. Street? I'm going to call that prodigal son. Anybody been down P.S. Street? Where you were so low you couldn't see top. All you could see was bottom. So low you couldn't see your way. That you couldn't tell night from day. So low that you had to call a friend or use a lifeline. Y'all don't know this, but take a 50-50 chance. Or maybe you had to try to make a deal. Have you been so low that when you looked up, you saw bottom? You've been so low you didn't know where you were or how you got where you are or how to get from where you are. You ever been so low you don't know who or whose you are? I know somebody. Somebody been on this street. I've been on this street before, too.
Yes, yes.
But see, some of us, see, when we're on that street, we love a pity party.
Oh, my God.
We don't want anybody to come by and help us. Yeah. And then if they do, they need to have some experience like we've had. Otherwise, you can't tell me nothing. You ain't never had nobody, so you can't tell me nothing about it. Do I have to do all the drugs to help somebody who's on drugs? Do I have to tell every lie to help somebody who's lying? Do I have to drink every drink to help someone who's an alcoholic? No. But see, the experience, Jesus, he had the same experience as we did. Sin is sin.
Amen.
And sin diminishes. Sin brings us down to a lowly estate. So low that the songwriter said he reached down.
Way down.
Way down.
Yeah.
Way down. And he picked me up on his street. Some of you sitting in the pew today. On P.S. Street.
Mm.
You're in the pew, but your back is up against the wall.
Yes,
you have a smile on your face, but there's a frown in your heart.
Yes,
looking good on the outside, but you're torn up on the inside. You're at the church in body, but you're messed up in your mind. That's P.S. Street.
Yeah.
Well, I have some good news. In fact, I found someone who has had an experience like you may be having and to give you some advice.
Yeah.
So the prodigal son we picked up in the 17th verse where he advises or he took five steps that we can use to help us get from where we are and change to where we need to be.
Yeah.
Can we go with that for a minute?
Yeah.
Number one, step number one is excitement.
Mm-hmm.
He got excited. We'll talk about it. Number two is examination. He looked at himself. He looked down at himself. Number three is elevation. He looked up to God. Number four is execution. He got up. Number five is in exuberance or enjoyment. He jumped up and down. Can we talk about that for a minute? It won't take me long. I'll have you at house before 2:00. Be right in the middle of the game. I think it's about 1:00 to start. We'd be there by the time the game starts. The first thing he did was excitement. The Bible said he came in verse number 17. Hey, he came to himself.
Yeah.
The first step to change is to have you've got to come to yourself.
Yeah.
There's no way you can change unless you first come to you. Got to know that there is another option. There's some excitement. See, when you're in a place where it's dark and dreary, it's exciting to know that you have, this is not the end. That I have another option, that I have another chance. Church, we've been in a darkness before where we could not see the light, but then all of a sudden we realize that there may be a flicker, there may be a chance for us seeing the light. We ought to get excited. Some of us have been at church on Sunday. And we get excited when the music starts playing.
Come on.
We've realized we're excited, but excitement is that's step number one. Is excited. You've got to get excited about some of us leave here knowing that the week is going to be a different week.
Yes, sir.
Can't wait to Monday now.
Yeah.
Not after a good service on Sunday. I'm ready to take my bring whatever you got. But see, then the excitement is just step number one. Psalm said in 23 and 4, he said, she read it earlier, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even though I'm in a bad place, I've got some good news. I'm just going through the valley.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, I guess, while I'm in the valley, I'm not scared. I ain't scared of you. That's what he said, I will fear no evil. That's what the Bible says. He said, think about this. I am the same in the same place, in the same body, same set of clothes, same, see the prodigal son, same surrounding, but inside he changed.
Yes, sir.
Inside, he all of a sudden came to himself.
Yeah.
See, some of us need to come to ourselves. Stop acting like somebody else says act.
Stop doing what other folks say do. Stop trying to follow the world and then just come to yourself. Romans 5 and 5 says, how do we do this? Well, the love of God is shed upon our heart through by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. And then 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. We talked about this. And behold, all things are come new. When we come to Christ, even though old things have passed away, and we talk about, you looked at my hands, and my hands look new.
Yeah.
I looked at my feet, and my feet did too. Yeah. I started to walk, I had a new walk. I'm using the same hands, the same feet, the same eyes, but things are differently because I'm looking at them from a different person on the inside.
Yes, sir.
I think I said something just then. Somebody needs to register under the radar because, see, a lot of us need to understand that, see, oftentimes what we see is not what's going on.
Come on, preacher. Come
on the outside, but what's going on the inside. See, I used to like you until I heard about you. And then my stuff all messed up. Now I got all this stuff in my head. When I talk to you, I really can't even talk to you like I used to because I heard so much stuff about you. See, a lot of times we're reacting about what's going on around us, what we heard, what we don't even know, and we're not even seeing the situation for what it is. It's the way. You ever been to a ball game and your team was playing?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another team on the other side. How is it that we all see the same play differently? How is it when the ref makes a call, it's a foul, and it's a foul for them, but it's not a foul for us, but we say, no, it's not going to be a foul. Is it a foul or not a foul? That one way, it's a foul or not a foul. But because of our perspective, y'all follow me, I want y'all to see this. It's because of our perspective, we see things a certain way.
Yeah.
Until we come to ourselves and get to know who we are in Christ, we will never see things the way they should be. You can never be you, who you are, and the best you can be until you know who he is.
Amen.
You can do a good job. You can be a good person. You're about to make a good amount of money. But that doesn't make you who you are. And he came to himself. Just a minute ago, we were on PS Street. We didn't have an option, but all of a sudden, he realized he came to himself. He realized, I have an option. I don't have to stay here in this pig pen. Do you know how refreshing that is?
Mm-hmm.
To all of a sudden wake up out of nowhere and realize I have an option?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody been unsaved before? And all of a sudden you realize when you got saved that, wait a minute, I have an option?
Yeah.
He loves me
when
I'm not even good enough to love myself.
Right.
He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
Yeah.
You know how exciting it is?
Yeah.
First step to change, you got to get excited. See, change is hard.
Yeah.
And if you're not excited about the change, it's not possible that you're really going to do it.
Yeah.
So first step is excitement. Step number two, examination. Look at what he did in verse number 19. And he said, how many house servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?
Mm-hmm.
The second step is to examine, look down at yourself.
Yes.
I didn't say look at anybody else.
That's right.
I said look at yourself.
Amen.
The second step is see yourself for who you really are, and don't try to fool yourself. Some of us try to make our own self feel good, talking about how good we really are. It ain't even about that. Be who you are.
Amen.
It's okay to be the rundown that I am.
That's right.
It's okay to be the liar that I am. But I'm about to make a change.
Come on.
I say I'm about to make a change. If I'm going to stay the same, then I may want to fool myself. But to thine own self, that's what the Shakespeare and the Hamlet said, if to thine own self be true. If you would be true to yourself, he said, well, then if you do that, and it might fall like night follows day, that thou canst not then be false to any man. But if you can't be true to yourself, it's very likely you can't be true to anybody else. But it starts with you. First of all, now you examine yourself. Examine yourself. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 and 5, he's examining yourself, whether you be in your faith. He said, prove your own self. Isaiah 6 and 5, I like the way he looked at himself. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. He said, I'm not trying to shake the truth, but he said, when I compare myself to God, I realize I'm just a nobody. I don't even deserve to be there. I shouldn't even be here because I'm dirty. I'm hanging out with dirty folk.
Come on, preacher.
Right?
Come on.
My speech is dirty. What I'm saying ain't right. I've been cussing and fussing. And I'm here. Be true to yourself and look at yourself and see, because unless you see where you need to change, you're going to take this same you into this new you. Mm-hmm. And some of us really did do that. He taught us, and we said, how do you see men? He said, we see them as trees. And we said, that's good. Because before, I didn't see them at all. I'm good enough with this. Jesus, some of us need a second touch. He said, come back, let me touch you again. He said, how do you see men now? I see men as men walking. Yeah. Sometimes we need a second test. Some of us ran off and we got saved and we ran off like we know everything now. Yeah. And we want to teach everybody. You haven't even read the M, flipped the cover of the Bible yet. You haven't even opened up on your phone yet. And yet you want to teach everybody what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And then the other of us, we're afraid to teach anything because we don't know what it says.
My Lord.
It's not important that one or the other, but the key is, he said, now what the little kid, tell him what you know. He said, well, I was blind. But now I see.
Amen.
That's all that happened to you. Then tell them what you know. Mm-hmm. I was blind, but now I see. Examine yourself. Look at yourself and realize that you are guilty as charged.
Yeah.
Your actions are guilty. Your associations are guilty. You are guilty. And so just surrender you to God. It's okay to be who you are, to be where you've been. And look, nobody has a heaven or a hell to put you in.
Right.
You can't change. If you don't, first of all, start with the woman or man in the mirror.
Mm.
And I don't mean try to model it to somebody else. I mean, forget them. It's about you right now.
Amen.
Y'all with me so far?
Yes.
Number three, elevation. When you look at yourself, you can get depressed. Don't stay at step number two. Mm. Take step number three, which is elevation. Look up. He said, I will arise. And I will go to my Father, mm-hmm. and I will say unto my Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Don't stay where you are. Look up from where you are to where you want to be. Everything without a vision, what happened? The people perish. You got to have a vision for where you're going. He started to look up from himself, look up from his problem, and start looking up to his solution. Stop being so caught up in what's going on around you and what you're doing. You have somewhere you got to go. You have come to yourself and realized that I don't have to be in this place. But I realize I am in this place, but I need to take some measures to get out of this place. So the first thing I need to know is, what am I going to do? Where am I going? Well, if I don't identify where I'm headed, then any path will do. Now that I've identified the course, I'm starting to elevate my mind now. I'm starting to look at the place where I need to go. I know one place I can go. I can always go home.
Yeah.
Isn't that good to have a Father who loves you so much that whatever time you decide you want to return, he's standing, waiting and watching, waiting for your return? Here he is. He said, his mind, church, and young people, we need to understand, your mind is a muscle fiber. So you need to strengthen your mind because it'll lead on to unimaginable conflict. Don't let your mind be the thing that holds you down. Whatever the mind can conceive, someone said, the body can achieve. You need to change your mind, elevate your mind. It elevates your mind, it'll elevate your altitude. The mind, it work in there and put something in your mind relating to God so that you can know who he is, and then you can look up to the hills. From whence comes your help? If you're always caught down here, you won't realize that I have an option. But when I begin to look up, I realized something. I looked down at the earth and realized it was there. But when I looked up and said, earth is the Lord, the psalmist said, in 24:1, the fullness of the world and they that dwell therein. It all belongs to God. We don't have an ability to think anything great of ourselves, but our sufficiency, the Bible said, is in God. Proverbs says it this way in Proverbs 3:5. He said, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Don't get caught up in your place. Don't stay at step number two. Take step number three and look at God, because God, our Father, can do anything. He can take nothing and make something. He can take nobody and make somebody. He can take little and make much. He can take ordinary and make it extraordinary. He can take bad and make it super bad. He can take two fish, five loaves, and feed 5,000. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? He said, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, honest, pure, just, lovely, of good report, he said, I'll pray, think on these things. Get your mind right by beginning to think about things relating to God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Young people, we get to spend so much time worrying about what he said, she said. Think about what God said.
Amen.
See, people are always trying to knock you down and make you the church of the mom, make you less than what you are, and you're not good enough. Don't get caught up in that. Think about what God has gifted you with and who you are in Christ. Put your mind on him, because let me give you a little point I read here. He said, if you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win but think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in this world we find success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in a state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win the prize. Life battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. But sooner or later, the one who wins is the one who thinks he can. Number four is execute. It's not enough to know what needs to be done. You've got to be about the business of doing what needs to be done. Too many people have the greatest ideas, meaning their ideas, but do nothing about it.
Yes,
look at verse 28. He said, and he arose and came to his father. It's not that there would have been no good for the prodigal son to stay at step number three, meditating on all these straight things, putting his mind on, going back to the house, if he didn't get up out of the pen. You can't get out of the pen staying in the pen thinking about getting out of the pen. You got to move yourself from the pigs.
Come on, right now.
You want a different situation. You're going to sit there in the same place and think it, make it happen. That's just step number three.
Right.
You can't say, look, I know some of y'all probably believe in telepathy, but I've been trying it for years. I'm going to move that glass. It ain't working, but this works. You got to execute. You can't sit here and try to put your mind on your situation and change. Sometimes you got to be about the business of executing. I'm thirsty. Well, you can sit there and starve and get, you're thirsty. So you know what I'm saying. If you want to. What I'm not going to do, when I'm able to get a glass of water, is sit there and let that dry up while I need it. I think I'll just go ahead and get it.
Amen.
What I'm saying, go get your blessing. See, you got to, don't sit around thinking when you ought to be acting. A lot of us, we know what Christianity is. We read about it. We heard about it. But he said they profess that they know God, but in deeds and works, they deny him, being disobedient, and to every good works reprobate. We got to know. It's not enough to know what to do. We got to do it. James 1:22 said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own salvation. Philippians, Paul said in Philippians 2:12, he said, work out your own soul salvation in fear and trembling. We got to be the bit. He said in Galatians 6:9, he said, be not weary and well doing, for you can do so, you shall reap if you faint not. We've got to be about the business of doing something. We didn't get saved just to sit down and look good. By the way, y'all look good sitting down. But that's not why you got saved. We didn't get saved just to come to church on Sunday. I know these days are newsflash. I should probably preface this by saying newsflash. We didn't get saved just to come to church on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Or to show up on Thursday night. Or to do Bible studies. Or to spend our time just reading for ourselves and elevating and praying for ourselves. We got saved to help save somebody else. How do we do that? Well, we got to be about the business of doing something.
Yeah.
What is your gift? And don't tell me your gift is to hold that pew in place. Now, maybe it is. Let me leave the option open. But please, let's talk about that, Fuller, because I need to know where you read that one at. Now, it's important. I do need doorkeepers. But they're serving, too, because they're serving.
Amen.
But I don't know about pew keepers yet. You may be conflicting the categories, or that may fall in the doorkeepers category. So, but what God has given everybody who is saved has been given something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all hear what I said?
Amen.
Everybody who is saved has been given something to do.
Mm-hmm.
We are not saved to stay where we were.
Right. That's right.
We are saved to go where he wants us to go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We are saved to be inside of God's plan, doing what God desires for us to do to have his plan fulfilled. It's not even about me.
That's
it's
right.
Not even about you. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
It's all
Amen.
About
Hallelujah.
Him. So we need to find our place in his plan. Right. Step number four, we've got to do what we got to do. What we said we're going to do. We got to get up out of the pit. And we said, I must go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. We need to get up out of the pit, get the trap into our father's house, and say, Father, I have sinned. Well, last step is exuberancy, because what the prodigal son did was he got up.
Yeah.
Out of the pen.
Yeah.
Step number four. he got up out of the pen. Now, you have to know that that probably was pretty difficult for him to do. And some of you are sitting here today, and you are at step number four. And I understand the difficulty because you meditate at step number three, and you're meditating and thinking about what you're going to do. I'm going to encourage you to take that next step and begin to move out on the plan that you know that God has given you to do. Because I know it may be frightening, because God has never given anybody anything to do that they were ready for. Did y'all hear what I say? And you read your Bible. I'm not read in that Bible yet where God gave someone something to do that they were fully equipped to accomplish.
Come on.
What I read is that everyone that he gave something to do, he gave them to do it and said, I'll take care of it. Because it ain't about you. I just want you to be willing and available.
Yeah.
I want all we available to be used by God, because the church, the world, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my faith. The world is hurt and hungry, and somebody needs to go out with some healing power.
Yes,
and say, is there a balm in Gilead? Somebody needs to go out with some food to the world to feed those that are hungry, to give water to those that are thirsty. Is there anybody here willing to help with what God said? Well, are you available to be used by God? Well, if you are and God has given you, get about the business and let him do through you what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
Amazing thing is that God can take little and he really can make it much.
Yes, sir.
I mean, look at the folks, some of the folks that he used in the Bible. They were not ready. They were not equipped. When he called Gideon was like, no, I'm not the one. When he called Moses wasn't ready. Moses was kind of somewhat, he was just a killer a few days ago. There's nobody I see in there that was just ready to go. Save for the Lamb of God. Last thing is, get excited. Beyond excitement is exuberance, because when he got home, traveling on this road, he arrived at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got there, he found on the way there his father was looking for him.
Yes, sir.
Church, when you take that last step, see, when you begin to somebody said this way, if you take one step, God will take two.
Yeah.
That's right.
When you take that step and begin to move out on what God gave you to do, see, then God can use you to do what he wants to do and not what you want to get done. And we're not putting it that way, because God's plan is always bigger than our plan.
Yeah.
The Bible says they would do exceedingly abundantly above what we're able to ask or think. We can't even get in our mind the things that God is able to do. So he started on his way home. His father was there waiting on him when he got there. The son proceeded to tell his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy because thy son. The father cut him off. He said, look here, servant. He called the servant and said, bring here, give me a ring. Get some shoes and put on his feet.
Yeah.
Put a ring on his hand. That symbolized, put a robe on. First, put a robe on it, because that symbolizes some honor. You got to have a little honor if you're going to be right. This is my house, right?
Yeah.
You need to have a little honor. He said, then put a ring on his finger, see, because the ring symbolizes authority. It lets them know that he's in control. And then put some shoes on his feet.
Yes,
the boy that walked out of his shoes, he may have sold it. He's got no shoes. Put some shoes on his feet. Why shoes? Because I got shoes.
Yeah.
You got shoes.
Yeah.
All God's children got shoes.
Yes,
when I get to heaven, come on now. He said, put some shoes at the end of the day. He said, then what I want you to do, go out there, kill the fat calf. Kill it and bring it, let's eat and be merry.
Yeah.
Why are we going to do that? Because this, my son was dead, and he's alive again.
Hallelujah.
I took five steps, and on the fifth step, I found myself at the house. But not just at the house, but I found myself in the house.
Yeah.
I had been out of the house.
Yes.
In the outhouse, but now I find myself in the house.
Yeah.
I'm no longer with the swine, but I'm at the house now, because of that fifth time. What I like about this house ain't nothing but a party.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Ain't nothing like a party when you've been down and he lifts you up. Y'all trying to say, well, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that's saved. Imagine when you've been lost and all of a sudden you find your way back to the house.
Yeah.
He took his fifth step and found himself on the doorstep back in the house he had left, and it was all right. Nobody ran up to him. The father didn't come and say, yeah, you wasted all your money. He didn't come and tell you spent it on this. You did that. No, I don't want you here right now.
Yeah.
No, he said, come on out.
Come on.
Get him a ring. Bring him a rope. Put shoes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everybody's going to be happy because his brother was there. Because somebody in the church with him was there. He said, Father, I've been with you all these years. You haven't had a party for me. The father had to tell him, wait a minute, son. You were here all this time. I didn't know you needed a party. If you wanted a party, we could have thrown you a party anytime. You get mad because your son, your brother's having a party. You know how it is. But he ain't just toys. All of a sudden, when I have the toy, come out and put the toy down. The toy don't mean nothing to me. And all of a sudden, when somebody else becomes a toy, I bring my toy. Wait a minute. You've been here all this time, and this party could have been done, but you never even asked me. You never concerned yourself with it. But then just because somebody else did, I know y'all don't do it over here. But sometimes church folks get like that. They get caught up in what they're doing. They get concerned about stuff they shouldn't be concerned about. He said, you've been here all this time. We could have had you a party, but this ain't about you. Do you understand what happened? Your brother that was lost. I know you want to tell me about all the girls he's been with and the stuff he's been doing. Yeah. I'm not concerned about that. Your brother was lost. But he's back at the house now. He's at the house saved now. And you know what? I'm so glad he's here. I brought him back in. I repositioned him. He wanted to just be a servant and work out there with the servant. But that's my son. I don't think y'all heard me. That's my son. Father's not going to treat his son like that. I got two boys. I'm just going to tell y'all the truth. And I love those boys. They can do some stuff, but when they come to the house, I'm not concerned about what they did. But they showed up back at the house. Everything's all right at the house. You knew it at the house. I wanted to forgive you at the house. Now, you at the house now. Let's have a party.
All right now.
Well, here's the deal. I want you to stay here. Church, take the 5 steps. Can we get excited? But then examine yourself. Elevate your mind. Execute your plan. But then enjoy what the Father is doing in your life. Because God has some great things. Can I talk to you about somebody? Elijah said, well, I got excited one day. You know how we go. We come to church on Sunday morning and we get real excited. But it doesn't last beyond Sunday. Did y'all hear what I said? We take step number one. We don't realize we got to take the other steps. We take step. I got excited because I was out there on that mountaintop.
Yes, sir.
Sunday morning service, 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I was on the mountaintop and Bell came. These problems of Bell came and they brought 450 of them and they brought out and they were calling on their God and nothing happened. But then I called on the Lord and he destroyed my sacrifice and destroyed all of them. But then I was on a high.
Yes, sir.
I said, I want a ha-ha, because that's how we get on Sunday morning. We get on a ha-ha. That's just step number one. A ha-ha is good. You can feel good at the minute, but you're going to need something to sustain you come Monday. Because we're not going to be with you on Monday. You may not even remember the scripture we talked about here on Sunday on Monday. But he said, then I got off that mountain, and I began to examine myself, because when I left, I got word that Jezebel was out to get me.
Yes.
When I looked at myself, I realized I was scared. I ran to the cave. I was in the cave for 40 days.
Yes, sir.
But then while I was in the cave, you don't have to stay in the cave. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you don't have to stay in the cave. I called on the Lord while I was in the cave. I elevated my mind. He said, come out of the cave. Then he said, you got to execute your plan. I need to come out of the cave and go stand on the mountaintop. He's down in the cave now. Step number four, I need you to come out again. I could have stayed in the cave and blamed God for me being there, but he told me to come out of the cave and get on the mountaintop. Some of y'all have been told what to do, but you're not willing to do it because you don't know what's going to happen. I'm saying God said do it. You ought to do it and see what God does. I came up out of the cave. I executed the plan, and then all of a sudden, I was on the mountain. And while I was there, God began to speak. I thought it was God because, first of all, there was a great and strong wind. And I said, it must be the Lord. No, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. There was an earthquake.
Yes, sir.
No, it wasn't the Lord. But then there was a fire. No, but then there was a still
storm.
I began to rejoice because he let me know that, you know what? You think you're the only one left. But I got 700 prophets that have not yet bowed down to Baal.
Yes.
I'm coming to let you know, we
as a church, we need to change. And if we're going to get to a place where God would have can use us, we've got to be willing to change and take those steps. And don't get caught up in one step, two step. That's like second day. One step, two step. Don't get caught up in the steps. Be about the business of doing what God told you to do, regardless. And God then will give you cause to be excited. Well, why am I so excited? Well, because I know that if I take step number one, if I take step number two, if I take step number three, and I take step number four, step number five going to end me back up at the house.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if y'all heard what I said. If I go through the steps down here, the fifth step is going to end me back up at the house. Let me make that plain. I haven't always been
straight.
I've been in the pig pen.
Yeah.
I was down deep in the pig pen.
Down
to eat with swine. So deep. One day I came to myself. I said, wait a minute now.
Go ahead, Doc.
I mean, there's got to be something different. I started to see a possibility. I started to hear about this place called heaven, a place that I want to go. I said, well, maybe I ought to think about going there. Then I looked at myself and I realized I'm not equipped. I don't have what it takes. And when I looked at myself and examined myself, I was all tore up. But thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
I took step number three and he elevated my mind. I began to look at him. And not at me, and he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, here I am. I gave myself over to him. I took an action. I gave myself while you did it. Well, he said, now you got to go home. I've been traveling this journey. I'm trying to get home now. I've had some ups. I've had some downs. I've had some smiles. I've had some problems. But when I get to heaven, I hear him say, it's going to be always. Holly, holly. No more goodbye. What are you trying to get to? I'm trying to get to a place where the wicked see some trouble and the weary shall be in rest. I'm trying to get to a place where it's always Sunday. Sabbath will have no end. I'm going to a place where the light shines. The sun shines at night. I'm going to a place where there's no more sickness. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm tired of being sick. I'm starting to feel more pain. I didn't even know I had until now. I get up in the morning time. I start to recognize that I got a hip. I didn't even know I had a hip before. I didn't even know I had shoulders. I now know I didn't even know my eyes had so bright. I'm just saying. But now all these things, but I'm going to a place with no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more dying. I'm going to a place. All this will be over. Well, when I get there, I'm going to hear him say, well done.
Well done.
That's all. That's all. He's not going to tell me that you were great at what you did. Some of y'all going to be looking for him to say how great you were. I ain't going to complain about you.
No.
I ain't going to talk about you.
No.
I'm not going to tell him how you treated me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell him thank you.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have to be here.
Yeah.
But he made a way out of no way. I'm just going to tell him thank you. But when he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, he recognized that I wasn't a great servant, I was just a good servant.
See,
sometimes I should have shut up, but I kept talking. Sometimes I should have sat down, but I kept standing. Sometimes I should have been quiet. Y'all don't get me. Just five steps to get back to a place. Just five steps to get to the kingdom. Just five steps to B-I-B-L-E. Just five steps, basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Hallelujah.
Just five steps to get back home. That's all I have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's all I have. It concerns me dearly that a church can die. But I'm excited.
Yes.
I'm excited. Why am I excited? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, I see life.
Amen.
I see life in this church.
Amen.
I see life around this church. And when we see young people church, we need to celebrate our youth because that's life.
Amen.
That said, that we'll be here tomorrow.
Amen.
And day after tomorrow. So So before we get so caught up in putting them down, we ought to look to build them up.
Amen.
Five steps. Just five steps to change. I have to change. I cannot be this way tomorrow. We have to change.
Hallelujah.
We've got to begin to see the significance of what it means to be a servant of the Lord. We got to understand what it means to be a Christian. It ain't about how we dress,
all right.
How we look. It's about our service. He said, how? Somebody just decided with the baby said, wait a minute, who's going to be greatest? Well, the one that serves. The door of the church is open today. If you're here today, I'm begging you. If you don't know him in the part of your sin, I am begging you. Get to the one for yourself. Take the steps. If you're here, take the steps. If you're here, how hard is it? Well, it's not hard at all. Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He made it easy, so it wouldn't be so hard. If you're here, no matter your age, young, old, it doesn't matter. In between, it doesn't matter. If you're here, you don't know it. This is the cry to you. Come today. Come today. Make him your Lord and Savior. If you're here. Am I to assume that we're all saved? If we're all saved, church, we got work to do. We got work to do. And we need to be open to God's doing what he wants to do. And not so intent on us doing what we want to do. Can we change, church, and let God have his way? Can we open ourselves up to be used by the Lord to do whatever he says? We're on this corner. And I like to think we're on this corner to stay. But there's a world out there that needs us on this corner and every other corner. God bless you. God bless you.
Absolutely.